Okay, so just to review where we're up to. So we were discussing the question that the Tosfos here raised, which is, why does the Gemara imply very clearly that a person who throws a rock up in the air and if it comes straight down and it kills somebody, they won't be putter in that case because it's not kocho. Granted that it isn't kocho mamish in the sense of pure kocho, straight kocho, but what happened to the din of Eish HaMashem Chitzav? The Mandam or Eish HaMashem Chitzav, who says that in the case of Eish, where you light an Eish and the Ruach comes along and sweeps it to some place where it then proceeds to damage something in that area, where it was brought by the Ruach. So we say Eish HaMashem Chitzav and you're chayev as if you were a Zorek Chetz. So why shouldn't you be chayev here? You did Eish HaMashem Chitzav. After all, one of the Toledos of Eish is Avno Sekino Maso Shenichem Rosh Kago. Right, person puts a stone or a rock or a knife on the top of a roof, and it comes along and is blown by a ruach mitzuya. So you're chayiv in that case as an midinesh. So if you hold Eish HaMashem Chitzav, what you have here, Eish HaMashem Chitzav, it should be chayiv no less than in that case biritzicha.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, sure.
So Avno Sakino Masal in the Gemara,
yeah,
in Bar Kama,
mm-hmm,
it says like mamun cha alecha, right?
Right.
So doesn't that imply that the chiyuv is nishum mamun cha? Yeah.
The Gemara, where does it say that exactly?
On Vav and Aleph.
Yeah, it says that about doesn't it say that there about all the Avos? All the Nizki Mammon cases? Mammon called Shemras and Alecha?
Right.
So
I'm just asking that. Even that says that sounds like.
Is it not even about other Mazik in that case? Or I'm not, that part of my answer.
It's like, I'm not sure what I'm not doing. I'm Rabbi Lasuya, I'm not sure what I'm not doing.
Right.
So that's saying that it's a tolod of ish, right? So I'm just saying that we say
right.
So it sounds like we're considering the ish your mamon. And not your koach.
No, I wouldn't think that that's such a good raya for a couple of reasons. First of all, the Gemara actually had earlier already, the Gemara of Kama that is, had earlier already noted that it seems to be true of all these mazikim, is mamono alecha.
What does that mean if it's not your mamon? What does it mean mamono alecha?
So that sort of shouldn't discuss that. Meaning, for instance, let's say in case of boar, what does it mean mamono alecha? So, some Rishonim are explicit that it doesn't mean that it's mamish mamoncha, that it's your mamon. It just means that it's alecha. And the point is that it's something which is alecha. It could be in terms of shmira alecha, or just the point that it's viewed as being associated with you. But let's say, in other words, if you hold bor b'shesarabim, the bor shechayv alav akasav is the bor b'shesarab, it's machlokes nagmar chav, and bachnun, dafchav alav rabbi shmuel, and later on in Bava Kama as well, in Perek Shoshanaga. So, right, that's the Sugya Nafnun, right? So you hold that it's not Rav Shmuel, it's Rav Shmuel something else, which might be related, maybe not. It's Mahogas tonight. Whether or not Bor B'Shuso, whether or not the Pasuk is only Mechayah for Bor B'Shuso Rabim, but if it is, so then Mamun Chalecha doesn't mean that it's actually your mom.
Okay.
I
was just thrown off by the.
Yeah, this is. This is the Gemara and Daf Gimon and Beis already says Mamoncha. So Tosos is actually already there. They noted from a slightly different aspect of it, which is happens to be this part is actually Machlokas Rishonim. This is the Shitasam, and they say Mamoncha. You have the Bava Kama Daf Gimon and Beis.
Yeah.
So the Gemara there already had said that this is something which is. true, perhaps, of all of Niskei Mammon, that the Gemara says, one second. The Gemara always says, with regard to all the others, Mamoncha v'shemes alecha. So the Tosus there says, Mamoncha, see there?
Yeah.
See? Right, meaning according to the Deos that hold that it's Lavdavka Bor B'Shuso. He holds Lavdavka Bor B'Shuso. If it's Bor B'Shuso, so you could say Mamoncha. If it's not Bor B'Shuso, so it's not literally Mamoncha.
Right.
So they say that, and then they say Chinga Be'Yesh, the Pshita.
Yeah.
Right. So it's already, you already have a sort of a retreat from that somewhat. Okay. Rashi actually held that it had, that L'man Amar Ish, that question was actually subject to the Machlokas Eish HaMashim Mechitz of Eish HaMashim Ma'ana, whether or not it has to be your Eish, whether it has to be your tools that are, say, letting Eish. But at the very least, it's among just the phrase itself is probably not a great raya. In any event, it's not something we just specific about the Toledos. It's something which is true about the Avos as well.
Okay.
So that was the question that the Tosos asked. And we saw that basically, we raised now the fifth answer. We saw four answers. One, Tosos is only the Mandar Mishamano. Two, was Rabbi David, is a chilik between Kochos, is Koch of Ruach Mitzuya. And then there's gravity. Gravity isn't something which is Nitan, then we view it as Mu'ura of the Adam. Then there was the third answer, which we suggested, which was that it's Hefech Mimasecha, in a case where it's Hefech Mimasecha, and it isn't perhaps Eish HaMashim, Eish, maybe not, or at least specifically not Eish HaMashim Chitzav. Fourth, we saw the Ra'ah and Rav Chaim, the chiluk between what is the implement that we're talking about. Eish mamish, the av, the fire, is something which is yud as chitzav. But when the Gemara says Eish HaMashim Chitzav, it does not apply to the toledos of chitzav. Those are only chayav mishum, Eish HaMashim Aman. And then fifth, we started to look at the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, and probably the Rambam, well, the Rambam's not explicit about it, but probably, held that that Eish HaMashim Chitzav is not something for which you're going to be chayiv in Ritzicha. It's something which you're chayiv for in Nezek, but not in Ritzicha. And we saw the, I think we read last on the formulation of Ran, which we'll come back to, but just the point itself, whether or not it's chayiv in Ritzicha, and the Ran's claim that it is not, so that brings us to a central question regarding Eish HaMashim Chitzav, which is, how do we understand this Shita? This, what does it mean, Eish HaMashim Chitzav? How do we understand Ryokhan? What is he saying? So here there are three basic directions, and the third of which is when the Ran goes, but there are three basic directions. The first is to say what we'll call Chitzav Mamash. The Chiddush of the Mandamar Eish HaMashim Chitzav relates to the phenomenon of an Eish burning something after it's been blown by the wind, and what it says is, what the Mandamar Eish HaMashim Chitzav says is that this phenomenon, the phenomenon of the Eish burning something after having been brought by the wind, so that's defined as Kocho or Ma'asecha, no less the phenomenon of an arrow which damages after it's been propelled there by the person. Right? As far as halacha is concerned, it makes no difference if you use your muscles to project to propel a projectile or an ish, or whether you employ the predictable natural force of the wind. Either way, we say it's kocha masecha. Either way, it's kiluch chitzav. So this, just textually, what we would be saying then in terms of Eish HaMashim Chitzav is that Mishum we would be interpreting as the equivalent of Mipne. In other words, because it's Chitzav, you're Chayav. In other words, Halacha views this phenomenon as an act of Chitzav, of Zrikas Chayav, it's the equivalent. And therefore, you're Chayav in Nezek, because, in this case, you're Chayav in Nezek because of that. Now, according to this, it's possible, or at least it's a potential issue, it's possible to wonder why it would be even necessary to have a pasuk to tell us that you're chayav. And in fact, this... Should we see the Talmud in a time? Anybody? No. Can you see the cross? This was actually something that Talmud Rabbeinu Tam takes note of, and not only that, he actually thinks it proves that this view is not correct. The very fact that you need a pasuk. See Talmud Rabbeinu Tam on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. Sorry if I still have the remnant of the illness manifest in my voice. This is Eish HaMashim Chitzav, Perish. There's a bit of time in Mokaman, Chaf Gimel, Chaf Bezman Aleph. Eish HaMashim Chitzav, Perish. Eish Shechiva Torah Olav. So we'll get to that, his formulation afterwards. Chiv Chitzim Yeshbo. Then he says, "Lav chitzav gemurim heim," which he means what we're calling chitzav mamash, right? Din kain lohaya tsarich lohava tsarich lichtov eish. The pshita on the mazik chitzav chayv.
Wait, where is this? I'm chaf yizman al.
Yeah,
it's in the shita.
No, it's Talmud Ben Tam. Yeah, there's a separate sefer on the remarkable sefer, excellent sefer. Talmud Ben Tam Rabbi Elazar. It's Tosfos Talmud Ben Tam Rabbi Elazar on Bav Kam. So. had a lot of, it's not, it, you know, it's very atypical of about, you know, the other Pali Tosos, and then it diverges, it's mostly diverging from our Tosos, the Tosos Shulchan. So there's a lot of original things you don't get there. So anyway, so this is what he says. So if it were true that it was Chitz and Gvurim, so Pshita Le Demazu Chitz Chayv, you wouldn't need a Pasuk. And then he says also, so he's coming to contradict or to preempt what I just said, which is that you can interpret mishum as in mipnei. Now, presumably the answer to that question, if you're going with this view, is that the pasuk is necessary in order to teach us that this is so. Now, from here we learn that this is how halacha views somebody employing the wind in order to project something. It's to be viewed as if the person threw it himself. In other words, the Torah says ma'avir sebe'era to indicate that you're not baal ha'ish, as if you just allowed something to, like a shore went ahead and damaged. So to your ish, the ruach took your ish. No, you're actually ma'avir sebe'era. You lit that thing itself. We're teaching you this Torah, the pasuk. We're teaching you that that's in fact how we view it. There could be an alternative, but either way, this is the simplest answer to that question. So that's one perspective. The opposite extreme, which we'll focus on somewhat now, is that the Man D'Amar Eish Mishum Chitzav agrees that the phenomenon of an Eish burning something after it's been brought there by the wind, that is something which is, or let's say an Eben hitting something after it's brought there by the wind, so that's not a Maisa Adam, that's Grom Abama. In fact, Rabbeinu Peretz is a good formulation. Albeit in the Havamina, meaning why he asks, why did you need a pasuk? Why does the Gemara even wonder Esho, you know, Esho Mishum Mamono, Esho Mishum Chizah? What's the issue? Why is this, what's unique about Esh? This is Esho Mishum Chizah. This is on Daf Chaf Beis Medav. So he says Esho Mishum Chizah. Yesho Tamal Ksas. Lama Hutzach Lomar Tam BeEsho Yoser Mishar Nizikin. Valo Kasev Pasuk Kemashar Nizikin. What are you talking about here? Says, etc. So, Yesh Ladin, what the maskana is according to him, meaning after the pasuk. But the point is, at the very least, before the pasuk, and what we're claiming now, you could say, look, even after the pasuk. It's Maisa Ruach, it's not Maisa Adam. In that sense, it's similar to the other categories of Niske Mamon, shore and board, where what the owner did in terms of any act that he himself did, it wouldn't be just Gram Abam, meaning as far as his responsibility is concerned for the Nezik. The Chiddush of Esh Mishum Chitzav relates not to any phenomenon, to the phenomenon of an Esh burning something, but rather to the Av HaMazik of Esh, to the category of Esh as a category of Nezik. What it holds is that the Av, which covers this phenomena, these cases of Grama Vama, right, meaning Eish, is associated with the person, is identified with him in a way that isn't true for the other Avos of Niske Mama, for the other categories of Niske Mama. Right? In other words, by referring to the person not as the Pasuk is saying, this is all in the Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Nizakin, the Pasuk says very clearly, Bala, it refers repeatedly in the context of Niske Shor, Niske Bor, Bala Hashor, Naki, Bala Shor, etc. And with regard to Bor, Baalav, Leishrena Baalav, right? But when it comes to Eish, it doesn't say Bala Eish, it says Mavir Sebe'era. But what the Pasuk there is just hinting to you is that that this Ava Mazik bears, in some sense, an affinity, in some way it's treated as if it's similar to Adam HaMazik, the category of Adam HaMazik. In other words, it's parallel in some sense to the category of Adam HaMazik as opposed to the categories of Niske Mamon. And this is, I think, what the Rebbeinu Tam has in mind when he says, Eish Mishum Chitzav Perish, Eish Chiv Al Torah Lav Chiv Chitzim Yesh Bo. Meaning, the we're talking about the Chiddush of Eish Mishum Chitzav is that the Chiv Nezek of Eish, so it's viewed in some sense as being something akin to the Chiv of an Adam HaMazik. And he himself points out that you can, in terms of what the language of Esha Mishum Chitzav means, so that's what I think he has in mind here, is that this proves it, I don't know, but he says, meaning Mishum in the what it means in linguistically is al-shem, right? Al-shum, which means not so much because, but rather betoras, as. It qualifies, it's a case of, or case, which is classified as, right, as we say, you know, schita mishum dash. It means that it's a schita as a toloda of dash. Schita mishum labin, right? So it's not because, but rather what it's being classified as. So that's what he's saying, is that esh, mishum, chitza means that the mazik of esh is a kind of a chetz. It's to be, it's akin to chetz. So it's not that the halachah views this phenomenon as chitzav and therefore is chayiv, mishum kach was chayiv, but rather towards mechayiv esh, and that category is in some way treated as being akin to adam mazik. Now, in what way is it viewed as being akin to adam mazik? So that really depends on two questions, on two issues. First of all, what nafkaminas exist between esh mishum chitzav and other niske mamon? In other words, what nafkaminas exist with regard to esh, lamadam esh mishum chitzav versus lamadam esh mishum mamono? And second, whatever those nafkaminas are, how do we understand? Now, the most extreme position on this is the opinion I mentioned last time in Rishonim, which is the Tamidei Hari and Rabbi Yishai mentioned in Shikun Betzes, that l'maskana of the Gemara, the only nafkamina between l'mandam or eshem mishum chitzav and eshem mishum mamono is whether or not yichayv is arba dvarim. Regarding all the other nafkaminas the Gemara had mentioned, it's as if Eshem Mishum Chitzav is equivalent to Eshem Mishum Mamono. Now this...
Isn't that only because Eshem Mishum Chitzav holds of Eshem Mishum
Mamono? No. Because all those other nafkaminas wasn't... That's precisely the point. You couldn't say that if you held what you just said, which is... Here, let's read the Gemara. No, this what you're pointing to is the fact that this requires a revision of the basic understanding of the Gemara. Right, the Gemara had asked, recall, the Gemara had asked, if you hold Eshem Mishum Chitzav, so how do you have a Ptur Tam? Right, that was Abaye's Kash on Rabbi Yochanan. The Mandam Eshem Mishum Chitzav, was it? Tamun Be'esh, the Padar Achmana, Hechi Mishkachasla. We explained the question is, Adam Mazik doesn't have Pturim. Adam Mazik is Chayib Ben Shogeg Ben Mezik, Ben Onis Ben Ratzon. So it stands to reason be Chayib Ben Tamun Ben Enotam. Right? So, How can you understand? How is that even viable? So the Gemara had responded, oh, I'll tell you, because there's a case where this Kali Chitzav, right, you light a fire, and there was a fence at the time, and then for reasons other than the fire, the fence fell down. Let's say Ruach Shein Mitzuya, assume. The fence fell down. So then what the damage that the fire does after moving, traveling beyond that where the fence was, that's Kali Chitzav, like a kind of piskei gerei, and therefore you're going to be chayiv there mishum tam. So Mar says, but if you say that it's kali chitzav, but if it's kali chitzav, it's kali mamono. Meaning there's no chiyuv at all then, right? So the Gemara responded. Right, this is the Gemara's question. I'm sorry, not that it's kali mamono. Mar says, why would you then be chayiv? Fine, I understand why you're putter mishum tam in that case. Why are you chayiv mishum galoi? Right? Say, not coming. You shouldn't be chayiv if this is Kali Chitzav. So the Gemara responded to that, right? The Gemara had said, Yachi lin and Galo, Nami Kali Chitzav. So the Gemara's response to that was, Elo, Lamandi Islam, Mishum Chitzav, Islam, Nami Mishum Mamon. So the way that the most Rishon read this Gemara, what that means is that there's an additional track, right? That additional track of Eish, meaning there's Eish Mishum Chitzav, that's a no Kali Chitzav. Then, when you have Kali Chitzav, such as the case which Gemara had just mentioned, so then you still have Eshom Mishum Mamon. And therefore, you're going to be, the Tur Taman in the end is going to be relevant for Lamana Rishon Mishum Chitzav in a case such as the Haya Geder, Venafal, Shalom Achasad Leika, where Kali Chitzav, you're going to be Chayav there Mishum Mamon, and therefore you're going to have a Tur Taman. But these are shown and understood the Gemara quite differently. and based on how you read the Gemara, there's something quite compelling about it in terms of just the next discussion of the Gemara, but you should just already note that the Rambam himself, I believe, is also going with this approach. Well, I'll get back to that in a second. So the other way to read this Gemara, however, is that no. The Gemara is not, in terms of just the question about Talmud, the Gemara is not here responding to and revising and just explaining the first answer it gave to the question of Talmud. Namely, that when is it your chayav mishum taman? How could you have a chayav taman? Because kal echitzav. Gemara is rejecting that answer when it says, if you're kal echitzav, so then what do we have? No chayav whatsoever. So Gemara is now giving an alternative answer to the original question. Namely, no. What are we saying? The Gemara is saying, the Gemara is saying that we have to revise our basic understanding of what Eishim Shem Chitzav means. Rabbi Yochanan is not saying that the phenomenon of Hezek Ayideh Ha'esh is viewed as equivalent to Hezek Ayideh Chetz. It's halachically the same. It's not Chitzim Gemurim such that it's really just an instance of Adam Mazik, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say that you'd be Patur Mishum Taman, because there's no Paturim by Adam Mazik. No. Rabbi Yochanan Nami Yisle Mishum Amono. What this means is that he also believes this isn't a Maisa Adam. It's rather a Chiv Mishum Amono. You're responsible for the damage that is done by some property. And therefore the answer to the Patur Taman question is there's no problem. That's how Mishkach is, because we're not saying that he's mamish other mazik, that it's really kikocho. We're saying he's chayiv mishumamano. So then you say, well, what does that mean? But this is the major textual advantage of this approach, is that now you understand very well what the Gemara then.
Why I'd ask for another
question. Right, the Gemara's next line, if you remembered, was in Cain. Oh, I'm sorry. Vechi mi'achar demand the islay mishum chitzav islay nami mishum mamono my binayu. So the Rishonim all know this, right? Supposed to all talk.
My binayu. The line itself is hard to read according to their approach.
What according to whose approach?
Islay nami mishum mamono sounds like.
Means that he's agreeing it's mishum mamono. That's what it means. He too is saying mamono. That's his fundamental orientation. So then, what is my binayu? So my binayu, right? So they're saying havamatzli mimar iki binayu. By the way, I should just point out that's my particular flavoring of this, but it happens to be that if you actually look at the Talmid Hari and Rabbi Yishai for that matter, I think it's legitimate for the Rambam at least. They actually take it to mean that he literally requires that Eishim Shem Chitzav requires both mamono and chitzav, but still it has this effect. And the idea, as I mentioned last time, is that it's a revising the basic understanding, because what we're saying is, but I'll show you why I think the Rambam is clear that he interpreted it my way, but it has it. Because the idea is that if it were really true that, you know, it was as if you threw it, so then you wouldn't need it to be yours. A person's chayav shukocho if you throw somebody else's chayitz, it's quite obvious. So the fact, if you say that you need both, that it's chitz, that it's, we view it as chitzav, so that, or that we need a chitzav, so that in kal chitzav you won't be chayav. But we also need it that it's mamono, so that shows you that it's not the kind of, it's not chitzav mamish, it's this other thing, which we'll get to in a second.
But you're saying that approach is distinct from the one that you're advancing right now?
Only in the sense that of what it means, Eishim Mishum Mamono, Eishim Mishum, Nami Mishum Mamono, Isla. Because what I'm saying, the way I'm just...
What it sounds like right now is that the approach is really, they both agree that fundamentally it's Mishum Mamono.
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
The extent, or, I mean, I'm not even sure exactly.
Well, I haven't gotten into it.
Right.
Well, that was the Gemara's question. But then, my benayu.
Right. No. Right. I'm just saying that this other approach of mishum chitzav u'mishum amono.
So I don't. I think it's another approach in terms of just literally translating the words, and perhaps it could even have nafkaminas. But in terms of the basic approach, that it involves a very basic revision of what it means when we say ishum, of how we understand ishum chitzav in terms of these two options that I've so far presented, namely the first view that it means it's a phenomenon that we identify as being equivalent to zrikas chayitz, versus just a comment about the category of nezek of Eish, that it's somehow akin to Adam Mazik, but not that it is actually an instance of Adam Mazik. That I think is the same, because it has that effect in the Gemara, according to them. That this Rabbi Yishai is explaining why all those other nafkaminas now are no longer true, no longer relevant. So that wouldn't be the case if we're just saying you need both, you need to be both chitzav and mamon. That wouldn't explain, for instance, tamar. But they're saying that it does explain all those nafkaminas that fall by the wayside. In other words, it wouldn't even explain the question. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not important. The point is that I'm just giving.
I got the revision.
Yeah. But the reason I say that is because the Rambam is very important. The Rambam, we'll get to it. I mean, in a second, he puts it in his Gemara. I was supposed to chov almazik. But second, when he describes it,
so that's the question of the
Magen Mishnah. Yeah, Magen Mishnah. Well, it's all the Nesekim. Rabbi, why doesn't the Rambam? He just completely omits. He passes the Ishan Shechita, but then he doesn't ever say anything about Taman only being chayiv in this case of Kalechita. He never says that. He says Taman is put. I'm sorry, Taman only being put. I was the first one I'll tell you, I did think that this is the way the Rambam must be interpreting the Gemara, and I saw the Gra. So exactly that. It's a little bit of a, you know, grammatical interpretation, but the truth is I think it's rooted already in the language of the Rambam. The Rambam in Halacha, when he quotes Halacha where there's an Apkamina, namely Arba Dvarim, so I'll just read these. This is Perek Yudav Halacha Tezvav. What does that mean? I think the Rambam is saying there is even though it's where it is in my sefer, namely Hilchos Niskemot, Avo Bishem Mamonahu, but it's Kamishi Hezik Bechitza. Which we'll get to in a second, but I think he interpreted this line. So the Gra actually says, the Hagosa Gra, so the Gemara says, Elo Laman, so he says here, Harif Verambam Mifarshim, this is the Hagosa Gra, Shechazor Miteres Rishon, Kegon Shenafla, Mifarshil, Mifarshim, Dechiv Chitzav, Humishum Mamono. So I think the Gra is also interpreting it this way. It happens to be that these Rishonim who say this, I think they interpreted the lines a little bit differently, but they, Nami Yisrael means that he requires that it be Mamono, but the impact of that, what that means is that it isn't really Chitza, Mamish. So that's just the minor point that I'm referring to. So but the major advantage is then you understand the Gemara's line. In Cain, all the other Rishonim are very bothered by that, Tosos, Ma'binai. We just got finished. First of all, the very thing we were just discussing, namely Taman, according to this, if you read it as well being just an elaboration of the answer of Taman, right? So then even the thing we were just discussing is a nafkamina. If you hold Eshem Shem Chitzav, you're only chayav, you're only pater for Taman when kal lechitzav, whereas if you hold Eshem Shem Mamona, you're always going to be pater from Taman. Also, all the other nafkaminas, Hitzav Spigufa Shal, Kumud Rabinei, where the ring was involved, right? All the other sigs that we just discussed, those are all, like six or seven of them, they're all going to be nafkaminas. So what does the Gemara mean? So they all answer in Echonami, basically. How much the main mark been? I call Handil El, Kalashan Tacharav, Anchor Begadish, Rabbi Yochan Mirchule, Rabbi Yochan, Lohitis Begufa Shalavi, come with Rabbinai, the Tom and Hechashaloka, the Chitz of Rabbi Yochan, and Tosa just says, the Gemara could have said that. Others don't try to explain, maybe the Gemara is asking, in addition, what are there other Nafkaminas? Or maybe the Gemara is just saying, are there other Nafkaminas, that are, particular, that have a certain characteristic, which these other ones didn't? But the simple way to read the Gemara is, no, the Gemara actually was puzzled now. Because we've revised our understanding, we're saying, Nami Isla Mishumamono, that it's also Mishumamono, so then what does it even mean to say Ishmashu Chitzav? In what way is a Chitzav then? What is the Nafkamina for Chitzav? And the answer... is lepojam yarbedvar, right? Arbedvar. I'm sorry, the chayv barbedvar means chayv barbedvar. And as I said, according to Rabbi Nishayver and the Re, that's therefore the only nafkamin. Now the question becomes: how do we understand that nafkamin? How do we understand Eishem Shochitza according to that? What is the significance of this exception? In other words, how much does this retreat from the equivalence the Gemara was puzzling over? When we say that Lamadar Meshim Shuchitzav is Nami Mishum Mamono, right? What does it even mean to say Chitzav? How much have we retreated there? You're just saying it's Mishum Mamono, so what are we saying? How much have we retreated that if there's the Nafkamina of the Dalvar? So that's what I want to spend some time on now, just to assess that, to get to evaluate the Ptur Shor Midalvar. So I mentioned that the Gemara in Laman Gimel in Bava Kamma actually addresses this. Fact that shor is putter, that a shor shehizik adam, you're not chayv b'arba dvarim, and it requires a pasuk to tell you that in fact that's the case. In other words, the tashlumei chavala don't apply for shor shehizik adam. So what that means is, right, so there you have a, you have the Rabbi Kiva's drasha of Shor Ba'amiso, Ish Ba'amiso below Shor Ba'amiso, or the other, the Rabbanan, that it's Kimishbat Ashor, Kach, Kach Mishbat, Kimishbat Shor B'Shor, Kimishbat Toh, Kimishbat Azei Yaselo, Kimishbat Shor B'Shor, Kach Mishbat Shor Ba'adam. But Kach O'Kacha, you need a Pasuk, you're part of Pasuk Yitayim, meaning, without a Pasuk, we would have thought the Havmina was that you're Chayiv in that case, Bar B'Tvar. What's a, how do you understand that? So the simplest way to understand the Havamina is that it's based on the view that Tashlumei Chavalah, basic view about Tashlumei Chavalah entirely emerge from and relate to and belong to the world of Nezikin. In fact, they are just forms of Nezik, forms of compensation for damages. And the point is that when the Nizok is a person, not just a Chetza, but a person, so then there are more dimensions to damage than just the nezik, just the depreciation of the physical item, the depreciation value of the physical item. There's emotional distress. There's physiological pain. The chiddush is that these two are considered hesed. There's a nezikim, but that's in fact how we view it. And then there's ripui and sheves, right? So when it comes to an adam hanizok, so it happens to be that there are many dimensions to the nezek. And therefore, that's where these chivim come from, so you're chai for them as well. Now, since these are just dimensions of nezek, it happened to exist when an adam is nizok, so then, anytime the adam is nizok, a person will be responsible. The person who's responsible as the mazik will be responsible for these chivim. So you needed a, I could, so therefore you should be chai. If you're sure is one who's mazik, so it's true, if you're sure is mazik, a chayfet, so you're only chai of tashlumin. But you have nezek. But when it comes to the adam and nizok, where you have all these other forms of damage, you're going to chayav for those too. So the question is, what's the kamash malan? The pasuk comes and tells you, no, not so. That you're only chayav for dalvarim. You're not chayav for dalvarim for sure. Why? So I think there are two directions one could go here. The first is to say that we've retreated from the basic premise, this basic premise regarding the character of dalvarim. What we're saying is, when the Torah exempts shor ba'adam, it's saying that the dalvarim doesn't emerge from the world of Nezikin. It's not compensation for damages. Rather, it's an onesh, and it's something that emerges and belongs to the realm of Ritzicha, of the Parsha of Marka Adam. We noted in the Gemara that Pei Gimel gives two makaros for the, how do we know it's Maman and not Ayin Mamish? So the one makor the Gemara says is, are you guys familiar? I think we discussed this. Maybe not. One makor is that it's from a the Gemara says Maka Adam, it's a hekesh Maka Adam Maka Behema. The pasuk in Vayikra says Maka Adam Maka Behema. So we view it as a hekesh there. Ma Maka Behema l'tashlumin, af Maka Adam l'tashlumin. Then the Gemara says V'im Nafshach Amar. Maybe you prefer a different one. What's a different one? The sichu kover l'nefesh rotzeach asher to asher rush alamus. The Gemara says, why do you need to say asher rush alamus? Just say l'nefesh rotzeach. So, Chazal Darshin, Asher Rosh Alamos, that's the Rotzeach that you're not able to take kofir for. But you're able to take kofir, meaning a payment to get out of the punishment, from a different kind of a Rotzeach, the Rosh Yevarim She'inam Chosim. Right? Okay, kofir, Vatal, okay, kofir, the Rosh Yevarim She'inam Chosim. So, Gemara itself addressed the question, what's the difference? Why do we prefer one or the other? So the Gemara says, "Umayim nafshach lamar." Why im nafshach lamar? Why would you prefer the other one? It says, "Tukakash letana." My chaz is the office. Mimake behema leilaf mimake adam. Shouldn't be learning from make behema. It's irrelevant. It's not a good analog. Should be learning from make adam, meaning rotzeach. If you're in the parsha rotzeach, then you could draw out chiyuvim. You can draw out dinim for implications for the parsha of Chavala, not if you're talking about Maka Behem. So Gemara responds, no, done in Nizakim and Nizakim, and done in Nizakim and Misa. So Gemara says, no, Adar Rabba, done in Adam and Adam, and done in Adam and Behema. Okay. Hain de Katani im Nashach Lamar. So you have very clearly in the Gemara two contrary perceptions. What's the appropriate analog? What's the appropriate context of the Chiyuve Chavala? Nizikin? Bein ba'adam ein behema, then, or no, rotzeach. So it's possible that what Gemara is saying, sure, but it's dafka, it's not adam. It's
where's that Gemara?
It's the beginning of a chol. First half of a chol. Pei gimel. But you know what it is. So now this is the case. What we're saying is that just as Ritzicha was mechayiv is the Maisa Havera, the interpersonal violation, the act of interpersonal violation of Ritzicha, an act of Ritzicha, so too with Kavala, what's mechayiv is the criminal act, the Maisa Havera, the act of Ish Kitimum Amisa. And therefore it's not completely something which there's no mechayiv in the case of Shor. Now that this is an onesh, just mentioned briefly, is manifest first of all in Shitas Rambam regarding the status of Tashlumin. Rambam held that Tsar, Boshes, too, but even Nezek are actually Knossos. So that with regard to Nezek and Tsar, at least Moda Behen is Pater. He happens to think that Boshes are Chayiv, but for a technical reason, which is very strange, he thinks that since you're increasing your embarrassment of him by being Moda, so you just don't get a tour there. It's very strange. But at the very least, that Nezek and Tsar, he thinks that these, even Nezek, which after all, you would think has a Hefzid Mammon there, even that is a Knas. So apparently, Hefzid Mammon isn't what is Mechayiv. Rather, it's the criminal nature of the act, as an act of Ish B'Hamiso. So, that Rambam is one manifestation of the idea that this is an Onesh. The second, I would mention, is just the Shita of Yirei, regarding the relationship of Lo Yosef L'Akoso to the Tashlum L'Chabal. So he seems to think that there is no Chit Tashlumin for an act that doesn't violate the law of Lo Yosef. It's a sugya in Sanhedrin, Pehei, of Yotzei L'Harek, where the Gemara says there's no Isser Lach L'Hakoso, so the Yireim thinks there's also, therefore, no Chiyat HaShulman. It's not focused Yireim and the Ram. Now, it's quite clear this isn't true for Nezikin. And it's particularly evident, even with respect to the other Mazik, from the Shittas Ramban. You know the Ramban held that you're Chayiv even for Onsa Gemurim. If a hurricane comes and throws you into somebody's car, you're going to be Chayiv. You're obviously not over anything there. So it's quite clear that there's no condition, the chiv isn't conditioned on any law. Moreover, so that's just in terms of it being an onish. Moreover, in terms of the kind of onish it is, so I think it can be argued that at least according to certain shitas, it isn't fundamentally monetary. It's not an onish mamon, but rather it's just an onish or an onish aguf, which is expressed through mamon or in mamon. And I think this is manifest in certain opinions regarding how it interacts with the chiyuv malchus. It seems to diverge, according to some, from how we normally see an onesh mamon, and whenever you commit a law which has a chiyuv mamon attached to it, so then you always have the issue of mamon and malchus. Let's say gzela or any kind of a chiyuv mamon. So you've also violated a law, you're also chayv mamon. So we generally, in terms of the interaction between the Onesh Mammon and the Onesh Aguf, so there's a certain principles that govern that, meaning when you usually go with Malchus, but if you don't, okay. I don't want to get into that, but it seems to be treated differently when it comes to this Onesh in the context of Chavala. I don't want to get into it now, but it's particularly in Shittas that seem to indicate that there's never going to be Malchus here because the Torah is essentially, this is the way the Sma actually formulates it, essentially replaces Malchus with the Onesh here. And he formulates it, this Ksitza Seya, yeah, the Hainu Hamama. So it's quite clear that for him it's not even a monetary, it's not like a fine, it's actually, I would say it's, this is a broader topic which we're not going to get into, but it's a kind of a Chaval Abo, it's kind of an Ayin Mamish, which is expressed through Mama. Okay. Now, according to this basic approach, so then it makes sense. Inasmuch as what is Mechayiv is the criminal act of interpersonal aggression, so then therefore, you're only chayiv for Maisa Adam. You're not going to be chayiv for sure. Alternatively, that's the first approach in terms of how do we understand what's Lamaskana true regarding why it is that after the Maskana that we find out Shor isn't chayiv. Alternatively, even after the Pasuk, we might say, we still believe, it's still the case, that Tashlumei Chavala are really just Dinei Nezikin. It's Nezikin and Nezikin, not Adam Ba'adam. They're just merely form compensations for forms of damage, which exists with regard to the person. The Torah is mechadish, though, that you're not chayiv for these forms of nezek in the case of a shor. You're only chayiv for nezek in the case of adam. Now, that could be just gzeres hakasuv, that niske mamon, after all, we know that niske mamon have various pturim, sarabim, kalim, the different ones, kalim, tamun. So, one way to understand is that the Torah, this is sort of, the Torah gives discounts. I think Rav Lichtenstein used to like to point to Talmud Rosh Hashanah. I forgot, it was either a Rosh or a Talmud Rosh Hashanah, but I haven't just seen it Tana Rosh Hashanah Rosh is like the is embodying his approach that Torah gives discounts. Or is, I think there's a Rosh though in Ksubos also. That oh, is it's not have Tana Rosh Hashanah Rosh. But the Tana Rosh Hashanah Rosh actually in our context sort of says that the Torah just you know sort of was chasam alonam, so just gave discounts. As opposed to saying that there's a that you know these exeris are supposed to saying that each of them have a logic to them, which is not a topic. Rishus Rabim has a logic to Shein Regel being part of Rishus Rabim, Tamun Eish Bor Kalim, but either way the point is that you could understand that maybe the Torah just wasn't Machai, it was just more Mako when it came to this form of Nezek as opposed to other Mazik, or no, perhaps you could say it's not exeris because of that you're only chai for these forms of nizikin. There's a reason. There's an understanding of it. And here I'll just suggest, you can suggest one thing too, but I'll just go with one here. Why is it then, if it's just a form of nezik, if these damages, this is damage for compensation, so why aren't you chai for these damages in the case of shor, if they are indeed damages, and you're responsible for nizikin shor? So I think we can explain as follows. That the existence of these forms of nezik are related to, or a function of, the person as an ishiyut, as a personality. In other words, what was damaged was not simply the person's goof as a commodity, we'll call it an adam khetza, right? The equivalent, let's say, of a very advanced robot. All right, but rather his personality, the adam kigabra. What suffers embarrassment is not a goof. It's not an adam khetza. It's the personality, the gabra. Right, a robot doesn't have that, doesn't have embarrassment. What suffers pain isn't the Adam Kechetza, but rather the person, the Gavra. Right? The person's body doesn't feel pain, doesn't feel anything. And Shevis Ribo is not as obvious, meaning that this is related specifically to the uniqueness of the human personality. But I think, and I think that first of all, that actually could be the Gemara's Havamina, the Gemara in Dama Gimel actually had a Havamina, that maybe. But that this is true, that shor is not chayiv, is only true when it comes to tsar and boshes. But when it comes to ribui v'sheves, we'll say it as well. The Gemara actually makes it clear that they had this happening. V'rabanan ze lamali, l'podrim mer dvarim, v'rabikiv l'podrim mer dvarim, minalei, not v'lemi yishikidim myself, ishram yisrael l'shram yisrael v'tzak. V'rabanan imahi, if you only said ishram yisrael, v'rabanan who darshi, who accepted ishram yisrael, but if you only had that pasuk, imahi, havamin atzar l'chudei, Boshes perhaps too. About Ripoy Vesheves, Emalitinle, Kamashmalan. So you need another pasuk to tell you that you're pasuk even for Sheves and Ripoy. So I think it could very well be that you might explain it that way, that Sheves and Ripoy really are monetary chiyuvim. But, and I'm sorry, take it back. Sheves and Ripoy really are damages that don't relate to the person as a personality, but rather to the body as a chetza. But I think that they actually too can be understood this way, and maybe that's what Slomas Khan. As far as Shevis is concerned, I'll just point out very quickly that Yishami is a Yishami that Yishami took very seriously, the Rashi in particular, which is that Mivata Kisa Shachavero is Pata. Right? So let's say you were going to make an investment, or let's say you were going to buy wine at the time and it was very cheap, and I took your money and you weren't able to do it, and then now you have to go buy wine at a much more expensive price. So now you can't invest it. So the Yishami says, in that case, you're Pata. So many understand this to mean. So Minias Redach is apparently Groma Ba'ama, right? Simply preventing somebody from a gain is not something which you're chai for, is not the equivalent of damage. But then the question becomes, what about Chiyuv Sheves? So you could have said, and you could say, that's an exception, that's Gzeiras HaKasuv. And that's surely true if it's an onesh. Alternatively, you could say, no, there's a difference. There's a difference between being vatal property from being employed to gain money and being vatal a person from being able to work for money. And what we might say is that the consideration of Sheves as a loss, not just as preventing gain, but as a loss, is based on the perception of the human personality as a creative, productive being. Right? The person, Adam Amalo Yulad, person is a productive being, is creative. Therefore, when you preclude him from doing that, it's actually something which is not viewed as simply preventing him from having a gain. You're actually causing him a loss. Whereas the body as a piece of property, you might say, can be used to make money, the chetza, but the inability to do so wouldn't be considered an actual loss. When it comes to a person, a personality who is a productive being, so that's if you've prevented him from being able to to work. So then that's actually considered to be a form of damage. Ripui as well, if you notice, the implicit assumption is that the person's health has to be restored. Now that assumption wouldn't be warranted if you just looked at the body as a chetza. In that case, it would be sufficient to just replace the body or to pay for the value of replacing the body. Right? Just like if you have, if you destroy a table, so the halacha is you don't have to pay to have the table be restored. You get them a different table, or you pay the money that would take to, you just pay the difference to get a different table. Right? So, but because it's not the case, because you've damaged this personality, meaning this particular person, so because we don't view it as simply damaging a goof, but rather damaging a person, so we require that you actually restore him, and you require the fee of report. So then the question becomes, does Halacha take note of the damage to the Adam Kegavra, or only to the Adam as a chetza, as another chetza? Right? Just like you have a person's property, you also have his body. So, in other words, should the Halacha consider and take note of the additional element of damage to a personality above and beyond the body as a thing of value? Or no, we say that essentially, when you damage a person, so just like you damage just like you damage a person's piece of property, you damage a person's body. So the chiddush of the pasuk is that it depends on what or who is responsible for the damage. When the agent of the damage was niske mamon, so then we treat the adam anizak in kind as a niske mamon. It's only, you only consider the damages to the value of the goof. When the agent of damage is a person, however, so then we consider the injury to the person. It's almost like kimidas hamazik tach midas anizak, right? When the agent of the damage is a person, so it's a person to person, so he engages and he damages, therefore, the person, personality. So if we're accounting then for the damages that the person did, we count for the damages not only to the goof, but to the personality. And that, I think, works well with the lashon of the limud. Mumba amiso, loshor b'amiso. Mumba amiso refers to an injury to the person, not the goof. How do I know? Amit comes from the shoresh im, meaning it connotes a being that experiences kinship. So it's not a mum be'adam or be'gufa adam. It's a mum be'amiso. So what the pasuk is saying is, you only consider it to be a mum be'amiso when it's ayidei ish. Otherwise, we only consider it as damage to the person's body. Okay? I guess we'll stop now. Okay. All right, so I'll have to just set the table then to come back to the Asian Rishon pizza. How interesting the Maskan of the Gemara from the Shem and Old is only one after me.
Is it possible that if the Adam Amazek,
thank you.
Right, we relate to it.